Okay, thank you, John. Please write in and say if you can't hear me. Like John said, you know, we all know the internet isn't perfect, but they're doing the best they can. I want to congratulate you on your series, and thank you very much for allowing me to participate. I listened to the series that was recorded the last couple of times, and I thought it was very informative. Congratulations on that. I'm going to talk about four things today, and the first one is about a laundry list of items that I think a borrower would want to check to see when they're choosing a lender. And then I'm going to flip the switch and say, what does a lender look at a borrower? I'm going to talk a little bit about business plans, and then I'm going to talk about some successes that we've seen for management practices in these kind of times. So with that, the first slide I have, it has to do with, it's really a laundry list of questions, and it's that you can ask yourself. Keep in mind that every lender is going to be better at some of these and worse at other ones. You have to pick the one that works for you. I guess I would say of all of the things on the third bullet, it says, do they talk straight to you about your business? And really what I mean there is, are they asking you, are they just nice all the time, or are they asking you questions that are a little more difficult and that cause you to think and add value to your operation? And to me, if you choose lenders like that, that may not always ask easy questions, but are straight with you in all of the good times as well as the bad, I think you'll end up with a better operation and a better lending relationship. And keep in mind too that I'm talking about long-term relationships in a lending business rather than a transactional, which I haven't seen Bob's presentation. Bob Sirens, but I'm looking forward to that. He may talk more about that part of the lending relationship. The next one has to do with flipping the page over, and it really has to do with what a bank looks at and for a lending relationship with a borrower. And I'm talking about longer term relationships. These are the basic what's traditionally known as the five C's of credit, and while Dr. Cole talks about they really are collateral, this is really what he's playing off of. It's really capital, capacity, collateral, conditions, and character. And I just want to make a couple of comments about this. The first one on the capital really has to do with how much equity a borrower owns, and then how much of that is in liquidity. And we've seen in our area in the last year, and especially in the dairy business, is how important liquidity really is. A lot of times one would think that there would be certain industries that can get by with less liquidity, and dairy being one of them, because their cash flow is monthly rather than maybe perhaps annually for annual crops. But this time around, the dairy business, as many of you know, are struggling very hard. The prices of milk are way down, and I think that some of the dairymen this year are not just going to be the very good dairymen that survive. I think some of the dairymen that won't survive are going to be excellent dairymen, but haven't had the liquidity in their operations, and they have no way to get liquidity in their operations, and they're going to flat just run out of cash. So the liquidity component of this is, and the working capital is extremely important. On the repayment side, for capacity, profitability really is if you make money, and cash flow is really if you made enough money. And those are two different components. Collateral, as we all know, is the last resort for repaying the loan. Conditions really have to do with monitoring what is going right with the loan. compensating the bank for risk in the loan, and then matching the terms of the loan with the customer's needs, the cash flow. Character and management, and all, really this one relates a lot to the next several slides I have. And to me, it has a lot more to do with not only if the person is a good person, if they're honest, but it really has a lot to do with how they manage their business and how they manage their farm and ranch, their business and their skills and their financial skills. I want to talk a little bit about business plans, and there is a place, and I know some people in our even our customers that utilize unwritten business plans, but these operations really are limited because business plans are really a way to do a couple of things. They allow for communication with others and other stakeholders, and if you're a single person and don't need to borrow money, and in your operation, you could probably get by without a written business plan because you've done the business planning in your head and you only have one person to report to, and that's you. But when something happens to that person, then the life cycle of the business is cut short. So business plans are also good for not only communicating with owners and stockholders and stakeholders, but they can be a good benchmark for everybody to track agreements on how and where the business is going and how it's going to getting there. The strategic plan within the business plan is really setting up what objectives and strategies and actions need to take place in the business, and it provides a way to have those objectives and action steps accountable to others within the business. So that business plans and written business plans are extremely important. Those companies that have those and those farmers and ranchers that have those do significantly better than those that do not. From a business plan, from the financial plans perspective, this is really my wish list of what I would expect to see from a very good business plan. And that is, not only is the crop or livestock production, you're having your expense and operating budget showing your profitability. You have a capital budget showing what is going to what capital purchases you're going to make, and probably pro forma projected balance sheets. And the last one that you see more and more now is enterprise tracking. Many of the farms and ranchers today have more than one operation, and many more. Many you're seeing need to understand what those different operations do at what time, so they can make the proper business decisions in a timely manner. And if you don't have the enterprise tracking and identify what the separate businesses do, then it's very difficult to make the decisions in a timely manner, and especially in times like this. So I think that's a trend that I'm seeing more and more of, and it's a way to improve your business and be a little ahead of the curve. The last item on this one I wanted to talk about is really what can I do to improve my business skills, because for the most part, these skills are learned skills, and you can educate yourself, but I think the bottom line is you got to understand where your strengths and weaknesses are, and build on the strengths and compensate and offset where the weaknesses you have are. We all have those. The last part I wanted to talk about is what are the things that we see that businesses and farmers and ranchers do to continue prosperity in the uncertain times. And so I've made a list of 12 things that I've seen operators do in our times. And one of those is they keep a positive relationship with their lender who's committed to the industry. They do keep excellent financial records. They're better than the average. They do the enterprise analysis, and whether it's by segment or commodity. And another thing is they look at their staff capabilities. If they're more than a family operation, and even if they are family operations, they'll match the people in the family or in the operation to the right place they need to be within the operation. And if there's a family member that is very satisfied in driving tractor, then that's where they ought to be. If they're not skilled in the financial area, you don't want to put them in the bookkeeping area. So it's getting the people on the right seat on the bus and making sure that they can contribute in a positive way. Of course, minimizing costs and expenses. Number six is managing the whole margin. And what I mean by that is that if you look at operations in the last, especially in the last year, you're going to see a lot of operations that did have the opportunity. And this, and some of this is 2020 hindsight, but if you look at, you see the people that had the opportunity to lock in both costs and prices on the other side, and prices for their commodities. And those that didn't, many of those that didn't are suffering today because many of them locked in like high corn costs for the feeding operations, but did not lock in the profits for the sales. Dairy farmers locked in some high feed costs, but didn't lock in their milk prices. And we've seen some milk producers that did lock in milk prices that are doing well today. So I think there's a more of an emphasis as we go forward about locking in the your entire gross margin, not just part of that. Wait a minute. Okay, I've seen in the last year a lot of rents and leases and terms of contracts be renegotiated with suppliers and input people, and more than I have in probably the last 25 years prior to that. And it's because of the changes in operations, the changes in the economy that we see. The family living expense, we've had some very good times in the last couple of decades, and all of a sudden now we're in a situation where we have many, especially young farmers, that have not seen the real serious downturns in the ag economy. And they've grown up used to buying lots of toys, and that part is over in a lot of areas. And the family living adjustments are sometimes, I've seen some families that have been able to adjust easily and some of them that haven't. But that's one of the things that helps keep more money into the operation and be able to work themselves through the downtimes. Number nine is using all the risk tools. I talked a little bit about the hedging of like milk prices and stuff like that. But there's also insurance and fixed rates. If you can get fixed rates, are more difficult to get right now, but if you can get them, now's probably a good time. I mean, there hasn't been any lower prices for costs that we've seen for years, decades and decades. Take steps to maintain and increase liquidity and sell assets if necessary. And I talked a little bit about that, but I wanted to put that on this list because people who've taken like who've feel that there's some very significant risks in the business. I've seen people sell their vacation cabins, they sell other assets that are not earning money and put it back into the business, and increasing liquidity and increasing their working capital to make it through the bad times. Number 11, take multiple actions sooner to preserve options. And when of the farmers and ranchers that I've seen that have had issues, the ones that have succeeded, have survived and flourished out of that, are the ones who have have taken multiple steps all at one time, and may, rather than saying, well, I'm going to try to put up this piece of property and see if it sells, they'll say, well, I'd like to sell that one first, but if that doesn't work, I'll sell these other pieces, and they'll put them all up for sale and work with what they've got. And those that do that are more likely to survive any downturn than those are not. The number 12 is I've seen people in our area, those that have kept good balance sheets and not borrowed a lot are going out and purchasing land at very low prices, and they've been having efficient operations, and they're actually capturing opportunities at that time. So right now. So anyway, those are the 12 things I saw. I want to talk from a management perspective. I think there's two basic things: identify small issues in the operation before they become problems, and solve them early. And then use the planning process and the financial statements and enterprise analysis to take advantage of opportunities and identify issues before they become problems. The last marks on that slide are: a crisis equals danger and opportunity. That's from a famous speech from John F. Kennedy that referred to the Chinese language, where the symbol for crisis is a combination of the one from danger and opportunity. So with that, I'm going to turn it back to you, John, and with any questions.
Joel, thank you very much. The first question, you referenced business plans and good records. What do you think the biggest hurdle is in getting producers up to speed with good records? And the second part of that, what aspects of records are borrowers having the most difficulty with?
The first part of that, I would say that it's a understanding of what the advantage to the actual owner borrower is. They, you know, for the most part, they've grown up in this industry and they understand what the operational process is, and they still, and so they don't see a huge need to go out, for example, and pay extra money to get a reviewed statement or to break down the statements into enterprise analysis. And I think they just, if they look at it a little bit farther into it and say, what opportunities am I missing that I don't know have that, and I don't publish my financial statements like monthly or at minimum quarterly, and they don't understand that if they look at those and understand what those mean, they can identify issues and before crisis happens, they can correct problems, they can take advantage of opportunities, and there's so many things you can do. As far as what aspects of the records the borrowers are having most difficulty with, I think it's the total understanding of what those financial statements can do. We have a vast array in our business of people that understand them very, very well, and those that don't really understand the difference between a balance sheet and an income statement. So those are the hurdles that we look at and we struggle with as lenders.
Kind of a follow-up on that. How do you train young or beginning farmers in these business skills, financial management, business planning skills?
that's a good one. We have to train and whether it's us or any financial institution, I think you have to train your loan officers to ask the right questions and be of help to those folks that are running those operations. That's our lifeblood, and that's what we need to be a success. If they're not successful, we are. So we have to train our loan officers to ask the right questions and help them along with that process and get them to understand the value for that.
How has and Joel, this will be my last question, and to the audience, if you could concentrate on what we're saying, but also answer the poll questions, that would be great. And Joel, how has information provided by borrowers changed over the past few years? I guess an additional part of that is, what are you requiring differently? And how do you think that information will change over the next year or 3 to 5 years?
What we require for borrowers really has to do with the operation. And if it is a smaller, if it's a smaller operation, we're going to require less. If it's a larger, more sophisticated operation that has, for example, three tentacles, or let's suppose what we see now is two brothers being in the farming business and they go to partners and it on a piece, so they have their separate things and then they have their joint operation, and maybe then portions of that family branch off and have an agribusiness. So you're starting to get into some real complexities, and for those kind of operations that become much more complex, we and borrow more money, we require either reviewed or in some cases audited financial statements. And I think that's becoming more and more the norm in the financial arena. As far as what's going to happen in the future, I see that there's going to be more and more tendency to understanding each set of the enterprises more, like I talked about in the slides. I think that's the trend. And I don't think there's going to be any backsliding about there's going to be any ever. I don't think we can expect any less in terms of adequacy of financial information. I think the requirements for that are going to be increasing as we go along.
Thank you, Joel. And there'll be an opportunity to place more questions before Joel after Corey and Bob have presented. And